Venerable Geshe says, we can also apply the above reasoning to ourselves, recognizing that our faults are really the faults of our delusions and not of ourselves. This prevents us from identifying with our faults and thus feeling guilty and inadequate. And it helps us to view our delusions in a realistic and practical way. We need to acknowledge our delusions and take responsibility for overcoming them. But to do this effectively, we need to distance ourselves from them. For example, we can think, self-cherishing is presently in my mind, but it is not me. I can destroy it without destroying myself. In this way, we can be utterly ruthless with our delusions, but kind and patient with ourselves. We do not need to blame ourselves for the many delusions we have inherited from our previous life. But if we wish for our future self to enjoy peace and happiness, it is our responsibility to remove these delusions from our mind. And this is very, very important, because if we struggle to accept ourselves, so if we're always identifying ourselves with our delusions, thinking I'm a bad person, I'm an angry person, I'm a selfish person, I'm a lazy person, whatever that inner story, that negativity that we're projecting onto ourselves is, if we buy into that, if we're not accepting of ourselves, that very commonly translates into us not being accepting of others. In exactly the same way that we are identifying ourselves with our delusions, we identify them with their delusions. I'm a bad person, you're a bad person. So we can free ourselves and others from this. We can realize, no, that's all of that negativity is just coming from delusion. That's the disease that I'm suffering from, that you're suffering from. That's not who I am, that's not who you are. That's just the dark storm clouds obscuring the clear blue sky, the beauty of the mind. It's the mud that is concealing this beautiful gold nugget that is our true nature. What we do in terms of formal meditation, sitting, trying to navigate our mind down a pathway to this way of relating to others, that's just practice, so that we're then able to do that in our life. Like, our life is the real meditation. The formal meditation, when we're in a safe, quiet space and there's no one actually interfering and causing any problems, that's like a training ground. It's like practice. It's not real. It's not, you know, like, when I say it's not real, I mean, it's like sparring or in cricket nets or in a tennis practice with a machine that's spitting out. But it's practice. And then our life is what's real. So we do the meditation and we try to feel this way, find this view of others. And then out of meditation, we try to continue seeing people that way. And then when we next sit down to meditate, we can a little bit review, how did it go? Was I able to hold that view or not? And then if we think, well, not really. So then, okay, well, let's see if I can go a bit deeper in meditation and get it a bit more stable. And then when we arise from meditation, can I carry it with me a bit more? And then eventually, with time and practice, well, obviously we have a very deep experience in our meditation, but also we're able to carry that through between every interaction, every encounter, every experience into our next meditation. So whoever we bring to mind, we think, your real nature is pure. You know, as a Buddhist, we can even imagine the Buddha that they're going to become. You know, we can see someone as Tara, someone as Avalokiteshvara, someone as Medicine Buddha, or whatever we want to see. We think, you know, you are a future Buddha. Your true nature is loving and kind. One day, all of these clouds will disperse and that beautiful, pure nature will shine through. Obviously, in the long term, what we want to get to is a place where we feel this way towards everyone. But it's very important that we start initially with the people who are in our life directly. So Venerable Geshe says, it is important to begin with our immediate circle, because if we try to love all sentient beings in a general way, while neglecting to cherish the specific individuals with whom we associate, our cherishing will be abstract and inauthentic. We may develop some good feelings in meditation, but these will quickly disappear once we arise from meditation, and our mind will remain basically unchanged. However, if at the end of each meditation session, we make a special determination to cherish those with whom we are going to spend our time, and then put this determination into practice, our cherishing will be grounded and sincere. Through making a concerted effort to love our immediate circle, even when they are making life difficult for us, our self-cherishing will be continuously eroded, and we will gradually build in our mind a firm foundation of cherishing others. With this foundation, it will not be difficult to extend our love to more and more sentient beings, until we develop the universal love and compassion of a bodhisattva.